So yeah, we got a lot to do over the next couple of days. Really appreciate you being with us on 7. Tea party is at today. And then at 8 o'clock on Friday, I will welcome in that very same professor and my good friend Michael J. Williams, the defender of capitalism from Leadership Program of the Rockies. So that's going to be fun over the next few days. We'll talk to Trevor Loudon tomorrow as well about what's happened in New Zealand since their mass shooting and the immediate reaction of their socialist prime minister to implement gun grabs and more gun control. So yeah, we got a lot to do over the next couple of days. Really appreciate you being with us on 710 CANUS. And now let's do it. Let's welcome in the leader of Colorado's Taliban, the Rocky Mountain Gun Owners Association, and my friend Dudley Brown. Good morning, sir.
Hey, thank you. I guess when you have haters gonna hate, but if what they say is we're fierce fighters, we'll take that part as a description of RMGO.
Well, yeah.
Because that's what we're always looking for with members, is people who are willing to fight, even when the chips are down. And I think what you're describing in your intro for other programs at CANUS is the wave is coming, and it's rolling over gun owners' heads. And, you know, awful lot of people within this movement, the leaders want to cower and hide when that happens and capitulate to these politicians who are going to use every opportunity now to do what they always wanted to do, and that's sell out. And that ain't RMGO. We're not gonna cave in, and that's certainly not the National Association for Gun Rights, the other group I represent. We're going to fight to the bitter end. So.
Yeah, and, you know, of course, when I said Colorado Taliban, I referred to that editorial in the Post. I never had you on. We personally never talked about that. But I remember one of the accusations that was made is that, you know, RMGO extorts politicians or whatever. And I think your reaction was, look, we don't. We put pressure. We stand for one thing, and we're immutable on that in that regard. And but if you find a place where we violated the law, extorted somebody, you know, file a suit. I'm assuming you haven't been sued.
Yeah. Well, of course not.
Yeah. Of course.
And and the fact is, Rocky Mountain Gun Owners members should fire me if I started wanting to be friends with every politician on the planet. I mean, that is the road to nowhere, and the road to where we got on the gun issue with the NRA. Which is what we're facing now, is they are so cozy with so many bad politicians. Yesterday looked like a who's who of the NRA in the U.S. Senate selling out on red flag laws. Every single one of these guys who's talking about how they're going to support national red flag are all NRA A-rated. Lindsey Graham. He sets the record for the amount of money the NRA contributes to U.S. senators. Tom Tillis in North Carolina. And let's bring it back to Colorado while we're talking about it. George Brockler yesterday, a so-called Republican district attorney, just did a news release endorsing a raft of gun controls. In fact, so many that far-left-wing Democrat State Senator Rhonda Fields couldn't even stomach them all. Rhonda Fields backed away from one of the gun control proposals yesterday that George Brockler brought out.
Where can I find a link to that story?
I just read it this morning, and as I got up and was getting ready.
Where'd you read it?
And frankly,
do you remember?
Yeah. Hold on, just let me find it.
Well, that's okay. Let's do that on the break. What's your time like this morning?
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
All right,
let's
recap then. You were on with Peter Monday before the president made his first address to the nation after the weekend slaughter. And you were expressing a concern about what the president was going to say. And you suggested, it was funny because I had my phone in my hand. I was going to call you as soon as you got off the air. But you said, maybe I can come back later in the week to talk about it after we hear what the president says. So we had you on yesterday, but I bungled the segment. We didn't have much time, and you agreed to come back on today in the 6 o'clock hour when we can take all the time we need. So let's take a breath for just a second and step back and pretend that there are listeners to this show, and we have them all over the country now, that don't know who Dudley Brown is, are familiar with the NRA, have not heard of RMGO. Give us just a bit of a biography. How did this become your issue, your sole issue, and how did you become so influential in getting politicians to pay attention?
Well, that's a good setup, although I don't, when it comes out of your own mouth, it sounds like bragging, and so I'm really going to be bragging on the members and the organization. Rocky Mountain Gun Owners is a state level organization based here in Colorado and to fight here in Colorado, and it was I founded it after working for more than 3 years with the state affiliate of the NRA as a contract lobbyist. And I was basically unpaid, and sometimes they'd cover my parking, you know. And I got so tired of kissing the politicians' butts, whose butts really needed kicking, that I just couldn't stomach it anymore. And started my own organization and built from there. And it's been a long, long road. That was 1996, and you know, 23 years later, you know, we really did build an organization that politicians are scared of, and one of the reasons is because we use a very strict and coherent strategy on political change, and that is, you know, we want to change the minds of our neighbors and about various gun issues and bring them on board. But that's not what our focus is. Our focus is very much on the elected officials, because they're the ones who make the laws. They're the ones who are setting this policy. And if they don't fear the organization that represents gun owners in the state, they know, gun owners are kind of lone wolf in it. You know, politicians aren't afraid of some, you know, state, is it, three people gathering together and saying, don't vote this way. They love it when it's not done as a group and it's disjointed. What they really fear is mass numbers of people following a direction and following not caving in. The way we've gotten most gun control in America, Randy, almost every single time is just pure capitulation by the people who are supposed to represent us. I'm not talking even about the politicians. I'm talking about the groups that are supposed to be representing their donors. The NRA. Bump stock ban is a fantastic example, and horrific, for this issue. And illustrates what I'm talking about.
And a totally useless tool, because anybody who cared to could make one if they wanted. So we give up. Go
exactly.
Ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
As somebody who has represented gun owners now for 26 years, and that is literally my life's mission. It's what I've done. I'm a real gun person, though. I'm not just a political person. I shoot competitively with handguns, not that great, with AR-15s, with all kinds of weapons. I'm an instructor. I teach machine guns. I shoot very competitively on long range, basically sniper platforms. I'm considered an expert in firearms use as well, but as well as public policy. I've never owned a bump stock. Why? One, I own machine guns legally. And so, frankly, bump stocks are kind of gimmicky, you know, goofy. I would never own one. There are a lot of firearms accessories I would never own. I think they're goofy. Lasers on pistols, there's a great example. But I don't want to ban them. Just because I don't want one doesn't mean I don't want to ban them. And to even make this more stark, the stock itself is a federally required part of a rifle. If you don't have a stock on a rifle, you're committing a felony offense. And so, because now you've changed the length of the weapon. So bump stocks, however, have been used in one crime in America, a horrific crime, but we don't even know that it was actually used in the Las Vegas shooting. In fact, Congressman Thomas Massey from Kentucky, the House Second Amendment Caucus chairman, has been trying to get the FBI to confirm that and show him some evidence that a bump stock of any type was actually used in the shooting in Las Vegas. And he can't. And because the FBI won't give it to him. And we believe because it's not true that he even used it. So he may have, maybe he just had one. Maybe that was all a construct. But guess what happened? Within 3 weeks of that shooting, the NRA came out and issued a statement. It's out in public for plain to see, saying we urge the ATF to ban those bump stocks. When they say regulate, which basically means classified as an NFA item, and therefore as a machine gun, and you can't make new machine guns nowadays. Again, thanks to the NRA, and boom, banned them. That was the NRA that led the fight on that. In fact, Barack Obama's ATF director had issued a letter years prior who said, we can't regulate bump stocks. It's not within our power to regulate bump stocks. And so, in other words, Barack Obama's ATF was to the right of the NRA on bump stocks.
That's incredible.
Now, that illustrates, and what happened? Donald Trump said, oh, hey, good idea.
Yeah.
And he went and signed, changes the regulation.
Yeah.
That's, to me, just proof that the organization that you planned on representing you is out selling you out. And it might just be bump stocks now. What's it going to be next? Oh, well, I guess it's red flag.
Well, and
out and endorsed it.
Sure. And it's universal background checks and it's assault rifles. So we've got about 5 minutes left before the next break. And hopefully you can stick around because I've got a lot of questions and want to do some back and forth with you. But explain to people, they see AR-15 and the left has done such a great job of creating the misnomer of assault rifle. And they see AR-15 and they think that's what the AR stands for. So it must be true. So explain to people why the myth of an assault rifle exists, what it really is about, and what AR stands for.
Well, AR stands for Armalite rifle, and this was the original manufacturer back in the 60s of that platform, and became the fully automatic version and of course some state and civilian versions as a semi-automatic. But I am somebody who chuckles and then rolls my eyes when people on our side say, don't call it an assault weapon. Okay, it was the left's term, assault weapon, because it's a semi-automatic magazine-fed weapon and with a pistol grip. And, with these accoutrements. But the fact is, we all kind of know what they're talking about when they say it and when we all say it. However, that the definition of what, quotes, assault rifle is, it's pretty difficult to pin down.
Explain to me what rifle, what firearm, what hammer in the hands of a maniac, what van mowing people down in Times Square, is not an assault car, is not an assault weapon, is not an assault rifle. It's obviously an AR-15 looks scary because of all the plastic grips and the shoulder rest and all of that, and you can put a magazine in it so it can fire more quickly. But it's no more deadly or no more of an assault weapon than any other weapon that somebody uses with bad intent to attack somebody.
Right. Well, and I could we could spend several hours discussing where this all came from. Really, it was born out of World War II when the Germans created the STG-44 Sturmgewehr. And then the Soviets copied that design largely with the AK-47. However, it is actually a smaller caliber. It's a carbine caliber, and therefore an AR-15 fires the same diameter bullet as your .22 rifle that my kids have been shooting since they were 3 years old.
Kids' first hunting rifle, you bet.
And I still love shooting .22. It's just a hypervelocity version of that bullet and heavier version than
the .22
long rifle.
I don't want to get too bogged down in it. I'm trying to focus on the politics and the languaging and the way that's been propagandized to become such a scary idea for, you know, the average citizen who's not paying attention to these issues day to day like so many of us do.
If you are someone and who wants a home defense weapon, and let's say you've fired a shotgun, I would first suggest, hey, a shotgun is it, because very effective caliber. Even 20 gauge is pretty effective for home defense. But you don't like that recoil, the next step I'm going to tell you, especially right now, is an AR-15. Why? Because they are the cheapest they've been since the 80s. And why? Frankly, because Barack Obama's not in office, who drove the price up and drove the sales of firearms up, and Donald Trump won the presidency, and now the firearms industry, especially the AR-15 industry, is in the dumps. They can't give them away. So $350 will buy you a very, very basic model AR-15, and that's a darn great home defense firearm, much better than a pistol.
Of course, we're
shooting a carbine caliber.
Let's move on from the rifle. We're seeing, as a result of this weekend, an increase in gun purchases, as we always do. We're seeing an increase in people wanting to take concealed carry classes and earn their permits. And then we have Republicans on the other side looking for ways to give government more authority to send armed agents of the government to your house on the speculation that you might do something damaging because and since you own those firearms. Go ahead.
Monday afternoon and all day yesterday was a cattle call for every middle of the road and left wing Republican in the country to get up and betray their base and to support not only Red Flag but a great number of other gun controls and unfortunately we saw it in Colorado. George Brockler did. I predict we're going to see others, and you know, our message is really simple to those people, those politicians. Well, I'm saying people and politicians in the same words. That's an oxymoron. These politicians are. It's very simple. You will be held accountable in the next election for what you do here.
Yeah,
you are going to pay a very heavy political price.
Yeah, and
for
I want to
supporting gun control right now.
I want to explore that in the next segment. Here's a perfect setup for the next segment. A text that just came in on the 710 CAN-US app, the text to studio line. While I agree with so much of what Dudley says, his no compromise stance too often leads to Republican candidates who lose. I'd rather have an R who hits most points who wins than an R who is no compromise who loses. Majorities matter. Let's make that part of the conversation when we come back on the other side.
Sure.
And talk about what citizens should do, especially with senators who are up for re-election in 2020, including our own Cory Gardner. I've got some comments from Cory Gardner on on gun control as well. And we'll continue the conversation with Dudley Brown when we return. So everybody sit tight at 6:22. We'll take a break from the Peter Boyle Show. You're listening to News Talk 710 KNUS.
Now, back to the Peter Boyle Show.
Girl, you taught me how to hurt real bad and cry myself to sleep. Show me how this town.
Back on the Peter Boyle Show at 6:28, even the country music stars, at least one of them yesterday, a woman, I didn't catch the name, was talking about, who was it, Casey?
Casey Musgraves.
I don't even know who that is, but I don't know what we got to do, but we got to do something. That is so often the refrain, and you hear it from Republicans, NRA-supported Republicans, Republicans who run on the Second Amendment. We got to do something. The something matters, especially when you're talking about your God-given, constitutionally protected rights, including and primarily the Second Amendment, without which the others become meaningless. Here's what Senator Cory Gardner had to say. He was up in Aspen earlier in the week, and he was asked about what we do. You know, what are the solutions to mass shootings? And he said it's absolutely devastating what we continue to see. How do we get into this? How do we end it, stop it, while protecting other people's rights? I don't support gun control. He said that unequivocally. I don't support gun control. Says he's worked on issues such as school violence, bullying, backing the proposed Eagles Act, which would provide more resources to the U.S. Secret Service National Threat Assessment Center. And let's find out with our guest, Dudley Brown, is that good enough? Where does Cory Gardner stand on these issues? Have you made an assessment of our senator from Colorado?
Well, I have, and the funny part is the 9 News segment that Kyle Clark aired, of course, cherry-picked and chopped off a sentence. And he asked me the other day on Monday, should Cory Gardner get a primary if he supports gun control? I said, Republican politician ought to get a primary. And then, of course, his headline was, Cory Gardner needs a primary if he supports gun red flag laws. I have
of course,
indication that Cory would support this. In fact, when Sheriff Steve Reams from Weld County and I went to Washington, D.C. several months ago, we met with Senator Gardner directly. And, you know, both of us know him personally, as well as I know you do and many others. And sat down with him and asked him where he was on the red flag bill in Congress. And he said, y'all, I oppose it. And he listed all the reasons that, frankly, you and I oppose it, Randy. And,
excellent.
You know, Cory's a pretty sharp attorney. There's no question. And when Cory was in the Colorado legislature, he was very, very strong on Second Amendment issues and voted straight line with RMGO. Do I wish Cory were more of a leader willing to buck his party? Of course I do. And that's just not who Cory is, frankly. And he's a very adept and let's say graceful politician. However, the pressure is certainly on him to cave to what President Trump asked for on Monday. We're doing our best to make it very difficult for him to do that, and there will be repercussions for those who actually do follow the president. And of course, those repercussions are especially with Republicans. Now, if we want to go in the question you asked from the text, and I think that you want to reread it or you want.
I'll just paraphrase it. I agree with much of what Dudley says, but the no compromise stance on this issue leads to Republican candidates who lose, or in some cases, you know, like Cole Wist, get taken out. And I'd rather have a Republican who wins, even if he's not a no compromiser, because Republican majorities matter. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, there are some strategic decisions about majorities. If you look and back up to the 2014 post magazine ban, universal background checks bills in Colorado, RMGO played the major role in returning Republicans to control of the state Senate. The major. There was no other state-level PAC or super PAC involved in returning them to the majority. And however, we back candidates who back our rights. And so what we do, rather than tell gun owners, oh, hey, got to vote this way because this person's great, we have to be honest with them and we'll let the chips fall where they may. Now, politicians know that. It's why they answer our survey. And frankly, it's why many weak-kneed Republicans voted against Red Flag in the state legislature. There are quite a few of them who wanted to vote for it in both the state House and state Senate in 2019. But looming over them was our organization and our members. And so, to that person who texted that question, let me tell them this. It's very difficult to go to your sheriff and say, hey, those bandits stole my ranch. If, in fact, you're the one who signed the documents that said, yeah, here's half my ranch. In other words, you endorsed the people and you helped get into office the people who gave away your rights. It's really difficult to tell your neighbor, hey, you got to stand with Republicans. One, the fact is that Republicans, have caved on you. I think there's a higher burden for people who run for office and say they support the Second Amendment and mouth those words, and even some who try to specifically wiggle out of it when they can, but they begrudgingly say, oh, well, no, I don't support red flag laws, and then turn around and support red flag laws. Those are people who deserve special attention.
So
I don't expect a Denver Democrat to to go against gun control, and because Rhonda Fields can never vote against gun control. She'd lose within her own party.
We're talking with Dudley Brown from
Republicans.
Talking with Dudley Brown from Rocky Mountain Gun Owners, and even the New York Times in their story this morning about how Republicans are getting on board with Red Flag admit that the studies don't really show inconclusive whether Red Flag's laws would impact mass shootings. They do appear to have an impact on reducing suicides. But the idea that this is a fix for what we're seeing in mass shootings, or it would stop someone who's committed to raising mayhem, the jury is way out, and just common sense tells you that there's no way it's going to have that kind of impact. Let me tell you what's going on. Peter's going to join us here for a couple of minutes, check in from Sturgis.
Oh.
So we're going to go to our break pretty quickly. I would love to keep you on the other side for a few more minutes, because I did find George Brockler's list of gun control items. I want to talk about those with you. And a real short answer, if you can. If Donald Trump signs off, gets presented, I mean, my goal is to stop the Senate from putting Donald Trump into the position of having to make this choice. If he signs Red Flag, would RMGO oppose him in 2020?
Well,
I understand, but you know what? Think about that during the break. Let's take it now. We'll pick up with that and look at George Brockler's list of the response to these mass shootings after we spend a few minutes with Peter Boyles on the other side. So Dudley Brown stays with us. I hope you will, too. Randy Corcoran filling in on 710 KNUS.
Go to 710.
O'clock. We'll be back on with Dudley Brown here in just 1 second. Thanks to everybody for the birthday wishes today. Really do appreciate it. But right now, we've got the man, first full day on the Hajj, live from Sturgis, where I just checked, looks like the weather is beautiful today. Welcome back to your own darn show, and good morning, Godfather, Mr. Peter Boyles.
Happy birthday, my boy, and good morning from Deadwood.
Yes, sir.
Downtown Deadwood, man. Hey.
Looks like you got some sun going.
Yeah, it's interesting how when people plan today, we're going to do a long and far and get everything done. There may be some inkling of rain tomorrow, so we have some other plans for tomorrow and other plans for Friday. But as always, and you know, it's interesting, next year is the 80th. And I don't want to say it's off in terms of numbers, but coming up here now, I think this is 25 years for me coming up here. You can tell there's a lot of people here. They think there's going to get about 400,000 people before it's over and done. But you can tell. And one of the ways you can tell is when we rode into Sturgis yesterday afternoon, you could find a place to park.
Yeah.
That's usually got to, you know, hunt around to find a place to park. And actually, there's two of us riding together, and we found a place right away. So still, everything is just great. We're talking about found a wall of Trump shirts, and I really interesting stuff turning, for me it was, turning Trump into a biker. And I sent that wall back to Mark. Mark will get some stuff up. But, I mean, it's everything that I love about it. And next year will be the 80th, and on your birthday next year, you ought to be here. So we'll find some other we'll find somebody else to do your show. And then you've never done this one, is that right?
No, that's right.
You've never done.
No, it'll be the first time. Yeah, yeah. 80 sounds good. You got to plan these way ahead, though, don't you? I mean, if people.
Next year, I mean, everybody already said that, like, I've stayed in the same place, the Deadwood Resort and Casino. I've stayed here since David Allen helped me get this place years ago. And, you know, I always rent. The day you get ready to leave, you rent for next year. You know, you hold put a reservation in to hold next year.
Sure.
And there's a new hotel. I mean, I can't believe it. Just in the year, they've built a place called the Hotel Sturgis. And it's in downtown Sturgis. There's been, you know, Easy Riders built a place a couple years ago. So there's no let up in this. And one of the things I'm saying, I can't believe, I mean, we know that Harley Davidson is having some financial issues. You sure as hell wouldn't know it being up here. I mean, you know, a lot of Indians, that's one thing, too, is to see the amount of people riding Indians. But by and large, I mean, about every, I don't know, 19 out of 20 bikes are Harley Davidsons. But, you know, I guess worldwide that's not the case. But it is grand. It's great. It's good to be away. There's so many things going on. We sit kind of watching the morning news. Whew, you got a lot to talk about this morning.
I'll bet nobody's riding in on an electric Harley.
It's here somewhere. We're going out to Custer today, and then there's a huge Harley-Davidson dealership people, I'm sure, are aware about, Rapid City Harley-Davidson. And actually, one of the people in our group this year is a woman that I really love, and she works for the factory. And then Troy Terranova has ridden the electric bike. I don't know. I mean, I as an old, you know, motor guy, motor head, I guess. I don't know. But eventually, maybe kids like my grandson will be riding electric motorcycles. I mean, I think it's the ride, perhaps, but boy, that noise.
Yeah.
When you're downtown and those bikes are rolling and the music's loud. I know it sounds crazy, but for people like me, it's wonderful. It sounds great. The Vienna Symphony.
No,
so that's great.
Listen, man, if you're a car guy, if you're a biker, you know exactly. And I've driven Teslas. They're fun. They're fast.
Yeah.
But I prefer my 63 Ford Fairlane with nitrous and a 507 racing engine. You know? I mean, it's just.
I tell you, there's some motorcycles. I took some pictures. Some guy, you know, everybody talks to everybody. And this guy's got about $135,000 wrapped up in this. It started out as a street, the Road Glide, and the paint and the tune and everything. We see people riding in masks, crazy masks, you know, as people just dressed outrageously because it's kind of, I mean, that's kind of the notion of it is here we are. And I don't know. It's, like I said, I love it. I've always loved it. And I think I'm saying even, you know, at my age, I think I'll come back and come back and come back and come back and keep coming back because there's something about it. It's really magical if you're a motorcyclist. And if you don't, what did somebody ask Louis Armstrong about jazz? If he said, if I have to explain it, you won't understand it. But if you don't need that explanation, then you get it. And that's Sturgis.
Well, you always sound very relaxed when you call in from Sturgis. And so, man, keep it safe. And I assume you'll check in with us tomorrow.
Absolutely. Talk to you in the morning, man. Happy birthday again, brother, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Say hi to, I hear you're having Dudley back. He's my guy. So be safe.
You bet. You too.
Thanks, bud. All right, man. Keep an eye on Casey. All right.
Yeah.
Bye.
Boy, talk about a full-time job. Oh, my God.
Bring it.
Hey, Dudley, thanks for waiting, man. But always got to talk to the Godfather when he's available. He does sound good from Sturgis, doesn't he?
Yeah. In fact, I grew up not far from there, about 20 miles from Sturgis in Spearfish, South Dakota. And where he is in Deadwood, my grandfather lived until he died at the age of 102 in Leeds, South Dakota, right next door. So I know that
way
area
cool.
very well. Yeah. I'm not a Harley guy. I'm actually one of those Japanese bikers guys. I always liked Yamahas, but yes, I'm a muscle car guy. I love the sound of an old V8.
Hey man, my
great sound.
My first motorcycles were, you know, Honda started with a Mini Trail and a SL70, had a 450, then a 750 four cylinder. First touring bike was a Yamaha Venture Royale, and I had a Goldwing that I finally gave up when this new Harley CVO came out, and I just fell in love. But, yeah, there is no condemnation to rice grinders from this guy because they ride like nothing else. They're really great. All right, we've only got a few minutes left. I appreciate your patience, man. But when we left, I asked you kind of the penultimate question when we're talking about no compromise, Republicans are at risk if they vacillate on this issue. You said before we went to break, you know, you're not a national PAC, so don't really have necessarily influence on the national elections, I guess.
We have a federal PAC. Okay. Yeah, we do have a federal PAC for the National Association for Gun Rights, and we get involved in a lot of fights. You know, I'll make the caveat here, just so a disclaimer is that I supported Rand Paul when he ran for president. He's an ally of our organization, a member, and a close personal friend. And I did some stump speaking for his campaign and fundraising. And when his campaign closed down for president, I supported Ted Cruz as the next best.
We were all delegates in Cleveland as Cruz delegates, which is what we were elected to be by our constituents in Colorado. But setting all that aside, knowing we've only got a couple of minutes.
I did not support Donald Trump because I predicted and as much as it pained me that he was not going to be a conservative on the gun issue.
Yeah.
And while some people can say, okay, well, I care about this issue and this issue, of course I have other issues, but you know, obviously firearms issue is a part of my being and its core, not just in my job, but who I am.
No, I get it.
I did this job before I got paid.
I get it. This is the bottom line here, Dudley, is there are more issues than the gun issue, of course, and I know this is the one that you are having the most influence on and are standing on. But in the entire scheme of things, with the country on the verge of socialism with any of these Democrat candidates, push comes to shove, Trump signs off on the red flag bill. Is that a death knell for him as far as support from folks like you and members of RMGO?
Well, I will only speak for myself. What do I think? And give you my political prediction.
Okay.
My political prediction is that this is a base level issue, a core issue of people who supported Donald Trump. And I don't even know that he needs to sign it. He keeps banging the gong for red flag laws. I think he's lost the 2020 election.
I do too.
I think it hurts his base, and you can't win big, tough races with your base staying home. Now they might not vote against you. I'm not suggesting that. They might not go cast a vote for the Democrat. They might get petered off onto some third party moron. They might.
But they're not going to work their asses off to bring voters to the polls, to get people inspired, and to make sure that the Democrat doesn't stand a chance. It's my biggest concern right now. And I'm encouraging everybody, and we've got to wrap it, but I'm encouraging everybody to put pressure on the U.S. senators, especially those who are up for reelection in 2020, to never put Trump into the position to have to deal with it. Because I can see the political strategery of talking about it, to get people who, you know, aren't the hard-wing baseliners to be considering voting for Donald Trump. He's got to win a national election. But
I think it's bad politics.
I do, too.
I think it's very bad politics, and I think it's a major mistake. And one of the things we're encouraging people to do is call the White House. Tell them how upset you are with his decision. Donald Trump is a populist.
Yeah.
If he finds that, if he finds vast majorities of his base are against him, and he's getting very, very bad advice on that, he might just turn around and do the opposite. He's done that before.
You bet.
And that's what our hope is.
Good. So how can people learn more about RMGO and saddle up? We got about 10 seconds.
Easy. RMGO.org is our website. Join our email list. It's free. And or check us out on Facebook. We're happy to have you a part of our army.
Full hour with Dudley Brown. Really appreciate your time this morning. God bless. I know I'll see you out there on the trail. We do have Steve Reams coming up, by the way, on the other side of this hour.
Nice.
So, yeah. Talk to you later.